Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild perpetuity, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome everyone. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is May 12th, 2020. And it's been another beautiful day in the Deep South. And wouldn't you know it, there's the phone. Let's see who I can deal with here. Hello. Yes, sir. I do. I'm supposed to be taking it to somebody in Augusta tomorrow. Yes. Yes. Okay, well, I'll be at the Waffle House right there at Mike Padgett at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. All right, well, if he doesn't show up, I have to be back in Augusta again on the 16th. Because I won't be able to hang out in Augusta. Okay, well, I'm actually live on the radio right now. I don't have, let me have your number real quick. I'll be off air at 10 o'clock. Is that too late to call? All right, great. I'll give you a call then. All right, thank you. Oh, sorry about that, folks. Oh, Lord, wouldn't you know, of all the odd... I hate people calling me this time of night. I really do. This is one of the reasons why I try to do the broadcast at 9 p.m. because I don't normally take calls after 8. So, but there's been a lot going on lately, so I had no idea if that might have been one of my business associates or whatever. I had no idea. Anyway, welcome everyone. Been a beautiful day here in Georgia again. Got a lot done outside today, which was nice. Trying to build a outside kitchen, so I needed a outside sink, you know, double pit sink to be able to wash dishes and such as that. So I was building the frame for that and getting it all situated. And then I went and cut down a couple trees, and I dropped 6 trees this afternoon. Got 2 of them cut up in 3 foot, or roughly 3 foot lengths. And anyway, I got that done, and then came in, watched a couple things on Netflix, and had me some dinner. And I actually had dinner at a decent damn hour today. What do you know, right? I tried something. I was talking, I guess it was last Sunday, I believe it was, about, or maybe it was last Friday. Don't remember exactly what day it was. I was talking about my favorite summertime beverage, which is you take a ice tray full of ice. You put an ice tray's worth of ice into a blender. It should come to roughly about 2.5 to 3 cups of big chunk ice cubes, and then with the ice in the blender pitcher there, you fill it up to the 1 cup mark with rum. I use coconut rum. I am very specific about this. I found coconut rum tends to give it kills that hard bite of the rum, that hard liquor bite of the rum, and gives it a nice coconutty kind of flavor. So if you're doing shots, it's real easy to do shots that way. But you fill it up to about the 1 cup mark there, and then you take it up, you fill it up to the 2 cup mark with Sprite or ginger ale. I use Sprite and ginger ale, so what I'll do is I'll fill it up to the 2 cup mark with Sprite, and then I'll take it up to the 3 cup mark with ginger ale, and then I'll fill it up with whatever kind of fruit I'm going to use until it's about 4 cups full. Then I blend it on the highest setting of the blender so it chops that ice up real nice and fine. It kind of makes it like a little slushy kind of thing. Well, today I wanted to try something different. Normally I'll throw in like a cup of strawberries or a cup of blueberries, or maybe I'll cut up a mango or something like that. I see Hamestrap popped up in the chat room. How you, bro? But I'll usually use like strawberries or blueberries, or maybe I'll chop up some mango or some papaya or something like that. But today I did something different. I've got these Nepalis out here in the yard. Some of you may know it as paddle cactus or beaver tail cactus, or prickly pear is another name people have for it. Well, I harvested a bunch of the tuna. The tuna is the fruit, and I like to wait until the tuna gets purple, because at that point it's when the tuna reaches a real deep, dark purple color. That's when it's at its prime. It's at its sweetest at that point. And so I had a bunch of them, and you have to peel them. You know, you have to, and I just cut the outer layer, the outer skin off, and they juice up when you cut them. They it's all purple and runny, and I mean, it's a good solid fruit, but it has a lot of juice in it. So It looks like beet juice all over the place. It'll stain your fingertips. My fingertips are all purple now. But I did a bunch of them, and I threw them in there. And I'm telling you, it is an amazing – oh, it's absolutely amazing. But I threw a bunch of them in there, and then I whipped it up. And it's just – oh, it's definitely a really good flavor to it. Anyway, before we get to, I made the promise that I was going to get to first thing. I was going to get to the story that I've been putting off for the past 3 broadcasts, where CBS got caught in a cover-up, basically. But before we get to that, I want to say I'm proud of the way we've handled things here in Georgia. They have the charts of Georgia, and where is it? Trying to find it here. Let me see. Where is it? On dph.georgia.gov. That's the Department of Public Health here for the state of Georgia. They have a chart that actually begins at February 1st and moves forward and shows a timeline of confirmed cases and then the 7-day moving average. And we peaked. We hit our highest mark right around the middle of April, roughly. Right around April 20th, to be more precise. And that's when we hit our peak at about 900, roughly 950 confirmed cases. Since then, we went down to roughly about 780 cases by April 26th, 27th, somewhere right around in there. You have to kind of estimate the date because it shows April 8th, then April 25th, and then March 12th. So you kind of have to look at the dots and where they fall relative to the date indicated, and you kind of get. So we peaked at about the 20th of April, and then by roughly around April, let's see, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, roughly around April 29th, we were down to about 780 cases. And then after that, it's just been this, major spike downwards to where right now we are at our lowest since this began, since we've been counting the numbers beginning roughly around April. April 8th was when states began, the hospitals began reporting data. And Governor Kemp Saturday announced that we have hit our lowest since this began. And looking here, confirmed cases right now. If I put my mouse on the dot, it actually shows me specific. Confirmed cases, 21. And if we go by day, we went on May 8th, 421. May 9th, 140. May 10th, 153. May 11th, 80. May 12th, 21. So Georgia got it right. Isn't it funny how Trump was like, liberate Minnesota, liberate Michigan, liberate Idaho, liberate. Shame on you, Brian Kemp of Georgia. You're opening too soon. Meanwhile, he's giving Pennsylvania shit because they're not opening fast enough. But apparently, Georgia got it right. We were one of the last states to have issued. Our governor was one of the last to issue stay-home orders, yet we were one of the first in the country to begin opening back up. I'd say we got it right. Even though I flatly defied Governor Kemp's order to stay home, we still got it right. It's amazing, for several days in a row, just the past few days, we've had no new cases, at least listening to talk radio. yesterday and today, there have been no reports of new cases on our local news. So I think we did it. But, you know, have no fear, because the experts out there say that, well, we're going to have an increase of cases because people are opening back up and they're not doing social distancing and they're not wearing their masks and blah, 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 blah. Screw you. All right. With that out of the way, I promised that we would get to this today, right from the very start. So let's get to this right from the very start. CBS got caught with their pants down a few days ago, attempting basically a cover-up to make, or at least try to help, Michigan's Governor Whitmer look productive, like she's got a handle on things. 100% fed up. Project Veritas, y'all remember, have heard of Project Veritas, right? Founder James O'Keefe. Yeah, he done it again. He done it again. He uncovered yet another deceitful piece of coverage on the coronavirus crisis in America by CBS News, your ever trustworthy mainstream media. In this clip, again, now this is a almost 12-minute clip. It's 11 minute 44 seconds. He begins his interview with a man whose identity is being hidden because he doesn't want to lose his job. Can't say I blame the guy. So, you know, got to keep his identity hidden. But he questions him, saying, you're telling me, well, after talking with this guy, he's going to be talking to people inside one of those. You've seen them on the news if you watch the news, or if you've been watching any of the videos that have been coming out where they've got these makeshift little hospitals with all the tents popping up and all the emergency tents, and we're going to take care of the overflow coming from the hospitals. And yeah, and almost none of those emergency hospitals got used. It is amazing how many of these things popped up all around the country. I see Hank Jones popped in the chat room. Howdy, bro. But it's amazing. Taxpayer funds, hundreds of these little makeshift hospitals popping up in parking lots in major cities all across the country, and then they don't get used. A Navy ship pulls into New York Harbor. Now, granted, it's kind of a hospital ship, but it has to be kind of revamped a little bit because of what it's going to be used for. And, well, they really don't have any use for the ship. So a Navy ship kind of sits in New York Harbor, not doing any, not being used. Here in Georgia, Brian Kemp, you know, he's like, one of the reasons why Governor Kemp decided to open up as early as he did was he actually was interviewed on our local talk radio station here in Augusta, which is about an hour away from me. And he said, one of the reasons I decided to go ahead and give the go-ahead for businesses to start opening up in here in Georgia is because, you know, the reason we did the lockdown, the shutdown, and we emptied everything out was because we were told there was going to be this big flood on our hospitals. And, well, we've got hospitals are sitting empty. And we just can't, we can't afford this. So, you know, all of this pumping up the fear. You know, they sold the fear porn. I mean, they sold it really good. But governors all across the country, at least the ones that actually want to admit the truth, realized that it was all poo-poo. And then all these little makeshift hospitals that popped up all across the country at taxpayer expense, virtually none of them being used. James O'Keefe of Project Veritas, during this clip, you're going to hear him. He's going to be inside these tents, talking with some of the nurses and stuff, what they tell him, absolutely mind-boggling that CBS actually thought that they were going to get away from, that they could get away with this. Remember, it was only about a month ago when he went into a New York hospital, I believe it was, and was talking to people in there, and, well, if I came in here to get a test, oh, no, you wouldn't be tested. You know, and all the reports we've got of, you know, even though you died from a heart attack because you tested positive for a protein, they chalked you up to, oh, he died coronavirus-related death. So I mean, it's all BS, every bit of it. But in this video, he's going to be going into the tents and talking to the nurses, and this is in Michigan. But he's going to be talking to some nurses and all in there. But before he gets to that, he's going to be talking to a healthcare worker who wants to keep his identity hidden. I see HC. Is that my buddy Howard? Is that my buddy Howard C. Holbert? Because that used to be how he used to do his name. But anyway, he's going to be talking to this HC98362 in the chat room. Howdy. Don't know if that's my buddy Howard Holbert who wrote my bumper music, but if it is, let me know. But before he gets into going into the tent and talking to the nurses and all, he's going to be talking to a hospital staff member who needs to keep his identity, you know, withheld because he doesn't want to lose his job. I don't blame him. But he begins by saying, you're telling me you're 100% certain that CBS News did what? Listen to this.
You're telling me you're 100% certain that CBS News, CBS News Corporation, National, staged a fake event. They faked the news. They faked the reality and broadcasted that to all of their audience last Friday on CBS This Morning.
100%, absolutely.
And apparently, the news crew wanted more people in the line. Because they knew it was
scheduled. Well, we knew they were coming. We had no clue that we were going to have to, like, do fake patients.
Gotcha. Did she tell you guys, like, hey, you're not actually getting tested?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, just to make it look easy, because we knew so they were right there.
Gotcha. That's crazy. Well, I didn't see you guys do the swab at all. I just saw you talking with them. And then I was talking with the other girl.
There were a couple of real patients, which made it worse.
They probably just wanted to look busy. It's my guess.
I'm James O'Keefe, standing outside CBS News corporate headquarters in Midtown Manhattan in New York City. An insider has come to us from a Grand Rapids Medical Center, and they claim that CBS News created a fake COVID testing line, taking away doctors and medical personnel away from treating patients just to create a fake staged event for CBS News and their national morning show. This is an explosive story involving an insider who recorded things from his colleagues. Check this out. So when this event occurred, where did you work?
I worked at Cherry Health.
Cherry Health is?
It's a medical facility. It's Cherry Health Heart of the City is the full name of it. And when I came into work that day, the news crew was there. I was kind of asking around what happened. And they were just letting me know that there's news there for the testing.
What did you see happen that you're claiming is fake news about this?
Well, when I was over there and the line was coming through, a lot of them were just kind of driving up and not really getting tested at all. They're just talking with the testers. So I was asking what's going on with the tests, and that's when they told me that you know, majority of the line is from employees at Cherry Health. So, yeah.
The people in the line were not people being tested, but they were employees pretending to be patients?
Correct, yep.
Why would they do that?
I think it's a little bit of a benefit for both parties. I do know Cherry Health is struggling a little bit financially. They're a nonprofit, so they get a lot of their money from donors or grants. So it just makes them look productive. And then on the side of the news, you know, they want to make the line appear bigger than it is, just for their reporting purposes, to show that, you know, this is a big deal, that people are getting tested in massive numbers.
So we do have enough testing kits, but we're really short on gowns. We're also short on N95 masks. We cannot expand further without any additional personal protective equipment.
They also can't expand testing because of recent staffing cuts.
Cherry Health has laid off about 25% of our staff.
Wow. And at a time like this.
Exactly.
The governor says she may further open the economy region by region if the data shows it's safe. Now, putting Michigan back to work won't make up for the roughly $3 billion the state estimates it'll lose because of the pandemic.
It always seems to go back to the testing. Thank you very much. That was Adriana Diaz reporting.
So they were almost staging a fake news event. Is that what you're telling me?
Correct. Yes.
Now, the segment aired on CBS News this morning with host Gail King, a nationally distributed broadcast seen by millions of people every morning. King says it's just one of many on COVID testing.
Only six states have reported more cases than Michigan, but fewer than 2% of its people have been tested for the virus. In our series on the state of coronavirus testing, Adriana Diaz shows how Michigan is trying to improve a system that has failed some of its people.
But the governor says testing above all else will help determine when to fully reopen.
And apparently the news crew wanted more people in the line. Because they knew it was
deadly. So when did you find out on Monday that it wasn't real people? Or not real people, but that it was employees?
That long-ass line that we had.
Yeah.
And then when I went to go grab the bag with the test tube in it, and that's when they told me, and I was like, figures, because we see the schedule ahead.
Oh, so no one told you, like, in advance? It was just kind of like... You were just like, why is this line so long?
Yeah, so she's looking for volunteers to go out and just drag to the tent.
Gotcha. And does she tell you guys, like, hey, you're not actually getting tested?
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Well, just to make it look easy.
Crazy. How did you guys feel on Monday, like, with the cars?
I mean, it's just annoying because we could have done other stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
because when I was talking to you guys that day, it sounded like you guys were a little frustrated, but...
Yeah.
And no one told, like, prepped you guys ahead of time?
Well, we knew when they were coming. We had no clue that we were going to have to, like...
How did the medical workers?
So I'm gonna end it there because this is that was about halfway through. I mean, this is like a 12-minute clip here, but you get the idea, you know. And then that last clip there. So you guys, you guys didn't, he was like, you know, when I was talking to you before, you didn't seem like you were too happy, like you were frustrated. And she, yeah, you know, we didn't know we were going to have to fake patients, you know, but that was the thing. And I know some of it was a little hard to understand, but, you know, the whole thing was basically all set up. And let me close thing out there. But the whole thing was set up, and what was funny was at one point, you know, they were showing like this long line of cars in the clip. And you can go on YouTube, look for expose, CBS, Michigan Health Center workers stage fake patients in COVID-19 testing line for CBS News. And you'll find it there. But they showed this long line, and it was like, of all the cars that were there, there were only two real patients, and everybody else were hospital employees. But because there weren't enough, nobody was showing up to be tested, and CBS wanted to do this story, they had to get everybody, okay, now we need you, and you, go out, you know, all you people, go out, get in your vehicles, get in this line, let's make it look good for the cameras, and blah, 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 blah. Well, we didn't know we were going to have to do fake patients. Oh, just absolutely hilarious. I mean, folks, again, think about everything that they told us. First, you know, we had Dr. Fauci. Shame on me for calling him a fraud. We got Dr. Fauci telling us, like, in the beginning, yeah, there's going to be 100 and whatever it was, million people going to die from this. Then it went down to 100 and something thousand. I'm sorry. We're going to have 100 and something thousand people going to die. And then it went down to, like, 90,000. Then it went down to 60,000. The numbers, well, the models keep changing. Yeah. And then we keep hearing about how, you know, we're at, it's like a 7% mortality rate. Until we, 7% mortality rate until we learned that in actuality, depending on where in the country you lived, the numbers of actually affected individuals, whether they showed symptoms or turned out to be asymptomatic, the actual number of affected, maybe not infected, but affected, whether they were asymptomatic, got sick and were able to stay home and get better, got sick and had to go into the hospital and get better, whatever the case was, regardless of their status in this group of affected people, depending on where in the country you lived, the numbers should be anywhere from 40 to 45 to 55 times, not percent, times higher, meaning it took us from a 7% mortality rate to a 0.1% mortality rate, which is exactly equal to that of the seasonal flu. And isn't it interesting that we haven't heard about anyone dying of the flu from the flu? Isn't that interesting? You know, maybe I know what it is. The coronavirus kills the flu virus just so it can kill you. I know I shouldn't laugh, but you know, this is just ridiculous. And now they're telling us there's a new, even more deadly strain of coronavirus that we just discovered here in the United States. Well, I wonder if that's the coronavirus strain that was brought over from Europe into New York City. Because keep in mind, we learned about 3 weeks ago that it was discovered that the majority of all the cases in New York were cases stemming from Europe. And, of course, the original coronavirus detected here in the United States was a completely different strain than that which was found in Italy. Oh, really? And don't forget, folks, go back a month or so ago when I laid out a timeline beginning in 2005. Y'all remember that timeline I put together for you? Well, we got a new thing to add to that timeline. So let's give you we're going to give you the new timeline here. Beginning in 2005, which is where we began before. From 2005 to 2012, 1,059 pathogens either escaped or were stolen from Fort Detrick, Maryland. Keep in mind, Fort Detrick, Maryland is also the exact same bioweapons lab that the anthrax came from. Remember the anthrax that showed up right after September 11th in Boca Raton, Florida? Remember that? Yeah, that very same Fort Detrick. So from 2005 to 2012, 1,059 pathogens either escaped or were stolen from Fort Detrick, Maryland. In 2015, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, one of their research teams were doing research where they were trying to combine the DNA sequence from the coronavirus found in the horseshoe bat, which comes from, oh yeah, that's right, the Wuhan, China area, and combine it with a similar virus found in the backbone of another bat. They were trying to do this DNA splicing thing. That was in 2015, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. In 2017, Anthony Fauci gave a talk at Georgetown University where he said that the new administration, the Trump administration, would be facing a pandemic. That's 2017. January 2017. In fact, that was just a few days before Trump was inaugurated. In 2019, June or July of 2019, Fort Detrick, Maryland was shut down for security reasons, actually security failures. Then in October 2019, 300 U.S. military personnel went to Wuhan, China for the military equivalent of the Olympics. At that same time that was going on, we had the Event 201, which was a global pandemic exercise that took place right here in the United States, right around that same time as the military Olympic Games were going on. In November was when this virus originally was being said came from the bioweapons lab there in Wuhan, actually somehow got out of the virology lab, which is just a couple miles down the road from the bioweapons lab. And they don't know if it's something got thrown out with the trash and a dog or something might have got into it, then carried it to wherever and it somehow mutated to people. That was a really fast mutation, by the way. Or how it got into the human population, we don't know. But during the same time that that all of this was going on, a couple of those U.S. military personnel, according to reports, came down sick with these odd pneumonia-like symptoms, and they ended up in Chinese hospitals. Well, they recovered, came back home, and they tested to be fine, so everything's all hunky-dory, nothing to see here. Go about your business, nothing to see here. And then in November was when China began to see the outbreak. Of course, they didn't say anything until like a couple weeks into December when they finally had to come clean about it. Well, see, right then and there was when shit locked down and said, no one into the United States, period, end of discussion. If you're an American citizen, okay, that's okay. We're going to bring you in, but you're going to go to a quarantine unit, and that's where you're going to sit until we know you're safe. But they didn't do that, did they? Okay, so that was the original timeline that I laid out. Well, here's the real kicker. We just learned, and beginning next Sunday, I want to do a roundtable. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. In 2018, March of 2018, there was another exercise called CLADX, C-L-A-D-E space X, CLADX. And it was a four-part exercise, and guess what they dealt with? A pandemic. And when you watch or listen to the four-part exercise, it doesn't take long before you begin to realize that everything that they say, I mean basically in the order that they say it, is what we've seen happen since this whole outbreak began. It is virtually identical, step by step by step. This 2017, Fauci, Georgetown University, Trump administration is going to deal with a pandemic. 2019, Event 201. But now we add right smack between those two events, another global pandemic exercise. This is what's got me convinced now, without a doubt, and no one is ever going to change my damn mind. This was planned from the damn beginning. Now, I want to begin next Sunday, and we're going to do this four Sundays in a row. Every Sunday, we're going to play one of the exercises or one of the segments because it's a four-part exercise. So for four Sundays in a row, every Sunday, we're going to play one of the exercises, and I want to do a roundtable with at least two or three other people plus myself, where we discuss, 3-hour roundtable on Spreaker, where we discuss that particular part of the exercise. Because I really want to get your thoughts on this. So you need to go to YouTube, look up CLADX, C-L-A-D-E space X, CLADX. Watch all four parts. If you want to be a part of the roundtable, email me, the1AmericanRenegade@gmail.com, and tell me you want to be a part of the roundtable. I really want to get your thoughts on this. And HC, I know who you are. I would really like to have you on that roundtable if you're willing to do it. And that'll be on my Sunday broadcast, which is heard every Sunday, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. And the podcast is American Renegade with Art Underground. So, I hope that you people, that you listeners want to be a part of this, because I think this week we can have a really great conversation with regards to this issue. I really do believe that. Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, Elon Musk. Now this was great. Elon Musk, after this idiot representative out there in California said F you Elon Musk, you know, he's like, well, hey, you know, y'all want to start this kind of garbage, you know, I can always close this plant down, and this is in Alameda County, California, you know, he's like, I can always close this plant down and either move it to Nevada or Texas. Well, they opened up today, or yesterday rather. Elon Musk opened his plant because the governor of California, Governor Newsom, said manufacturers can go ahead and start opening as long as they follow some guidelines. But it was the county seat. The county told Elon Musk, you can't open unless it's a county approved process that you're going to work under. And he's like, screw you, we're opening, and if you want to arrest somebody, you arrest me. So Elon Musk is standing up. And, you know, it is so nice, you know, when we have people like Shelley Luther, the owner of Salon Alamo down there in Texas, the lady that owns in West Odessa, Texas, that owns Big Daddy's Grill, standing up, saying, screw you, we're open for business. What's his name? Trying to find his name here. Carl Mankey, another Michigan. He owns a barbershop. Told Governor Whitmer, piss off, I'm open for business. And now Elon Musk stepping up saying, hey, you know what? Screw you. My people need to feed their families. So we're open for business. Folks, I tell you, if we're not seeing a mass awakening, this is what we've been talking about for years, that we need a mass awakening. We need something to get the fire in the bellies of Americans to burning hot. I'm beginning to believe that we are seeing that mass awakening, that we are seeing the people finally deciding that we've had enough. The 1970s program called The Network, where the guy was like, I want you to go to your windows, stick your head out, and scream at the top of your lungs, I've had enough and I'm not taking it anymore. I'm beginning to wonder, is this what we have been waiting for? That mass awakening. We can only pray. We can only pray. The economy seems like it might be trying to make a rebound. Sadly, we've lost 30 million jobs since the 1st of April. We lost 2.5 million just in the month of April, meaning already in just 12 days we've lost 5 million jobs. Or 5 million jobs. I mean, it just... But hopefully... sadly, a lot of small businesses are not going to be able to open. We've already lost a lot of small businesses, small mom and pops. But hopefully, if things work out right, these people will get some financial relief and maybe be able to start fresh. You know, we can hope. But it does look like after the past couple of days, it looks like the market may be trying to push back. We're just going to have to watch it, see what happens. What I'm worried about, though, is this new bill with Bernie Sanders and AOC and others pushing now for this guaranteed $2,000 a month for every American. Folks, I told you when they did that $2.2 trillion relief care act, to give every American $1,200 and an extra $500 per child, I said that would open up the door for universal income. And now, sure enough, here we go, a push for $2,000 a month, guaranteed, for the remainder of the crisis. Here's the thing. Once you start down this road, it's almost impossible to turn it around, to turn it back, because you get the people getting $2,000 a month every month, working or not, and they're not likely to want to let it go. Especially these welfare recipients who have never had a job the day in their life, just keep popping off babies. just to make money. Just to get that free welfare check. And that's pretty sad. So this is $2,000 a month. I'm telling you, folks, this is Andrew Yang's wet dream come true. But remember, he only wanted $1,000 guaranteed universal income. So $2,000 a month guaranteed? Folks, seriously? Who do you think's going to have to pay for that? Remember, I got me Obama phone. I go Obama phone, Obama phone. Well, where is he coming out with the money? Oh, I guess he got his own coffers in it. No, that's coming out of taxpayer funds. They can barely make Social Security payments as it is. Now they want to do this on top of the $6 trillion package last month. And then another, what was it, $489 billion that they just did a couple weeks ago? And then $19 billion to bail out farmers with another farm subsidy package coming just around the corner. And now they want to add another $2,000 per American. How much? I mean, this is absolutely unsustainable. Absolutely unsustainable. All right, again, for those who want to be a part of the roundtable, look up on YouTube, CladX, C-L-A-D-E, space X, CladX. Watch all four parts. If you want to be a part of the roundtable, email me, the1AmericanRenegade@gmail.com. Tell me you want to be on the roundtable, and we'll make that happen. Every Sunday, Spreaker.com, the channel's Ideas of Bulletproof Radio. Me, your humble or should I say not so humble host. Every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. I'm sorry, 5 p.m. Pacific rather. Me on Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Suzette from Suzette Live Talk every Tuesday. On Wednesday, me from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, playing karaoke-style music for your enjoyment. Thursday, RZ's Tunes from 8 p.m. Eastern. Friday, Smokey, I believe he comes on 8 p.m. Eastern. And then on Saturday, RZ's Free Speech Zone. Again, 8 p.m. Eastern. So we've got almost a full week. Monday is the only week we don't have something going. But again, that's Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas of Bulletproof Radio. Go there. Check out all the different podcasts. And you'll be able to find all the times and everything there. And let me see in the chat room here. It's been fairly active. Pandemic is the new word of the year. Yeah, I couldn't find that. I know there's a documentary called Plandemic. I couldn't find it where I could watch it for free. Basically, it's the left going all in. It'll not fly in the Senate. And if the economy reopens before July, a lot of Dem candidates are toast. I want to see how these Democrats are going to fare come November. I really do. Because I think there's going to be a lot of Democratic seats are going to find themselves in a serious uphill battle to try to regain their power. And it looks like California may go purple. If they don't go blue, I'm sorry, if they don't go red, California just may go purple. New York may be the same. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening. Hope it's been insightful and informative. Till next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. All the intro music that you hear to this broadcast and my closing music, written and performed by HC in the chat room. Except I think Good to Be Free, you had a woman singing this, so yeah, that's not your voice. But my bumper music, written by HC in the chat room there, and it is so good to see you again, bro. I do believe you get my daily broadcast updates, if I remember correctly. So Hamestrap, Hank Jones, HC, thanks for coming, hanging out. Again, this is Art Underground for American Renegade. Be safe out there.
Now you're gonna make it, you're free.